No, I was. This is the way I was, and I had a harder time living in Japan, and I get away with it more. But you know, fundamentally, that it's not because I got Americanized. I used to get always take offense with that.
Yeah.
I'm quite. No, I've been this way.
That you just kind of not fit better because you say you were uncomfortable here, but.
Yeah, and also like in terms of being outspoken, because of the fact that I'm non-American, I think people have different expectations. You know, I don't have to conform to the idea of like American womanhood at a certain point in time. So it's easier to be a stranger. I think it's easier to be a foreigner in New York than anywhere else. But at the same time, there are certain expectations about me being Japanese, regardless that I actually lived here longer than, you know, the 17 years I spent in Japan. People still think of me as a spokesperson for contemporary Japan. I'm like, well, I haven't been back in a while, and I haven't lived there as a grown-up. Mm-hmm. And I don't watch Japanese television. I stopped reading newspapers, so I have very little understanding of it. But, and there's a whole bunch of, you know, white boys who worked in Japan and came back, and but, you know, people ask me an opinion about Japanese culture than people who had more recent experience. Mm-hmm. Which I guess, and people look to me as an authentic voice. But as I explained to you, I grew up in a weird neighborhood. It's not very typical Japanese environment.
And yet you do seem to have deep insight into it. Maybe because you live here.
Yeah, I think a lot of the returnee kids, both the one that who came here and went back, and also who stayed, always struggle with, like, you know, the whole. Because when you're in Japan, like, I always knew that I was a minority, well, not a minority numerically, but, you know, socially a minority as a woman. Mm-hmm. But I never had to question, like, what it means to be Japanese, because I was a majority in that context. Mm-hmm. As soon as you come here, you realize, like, that once you sort of step outside of being the complete foreigner and start living and start seeing how Asian American gets treated, and you realize like that you go somewhere or you get on the cab and cab driver saying your English is really good. My first 5 years it was a compliment. Uh-huh. Beyond that, and when I realized that Asian American gets the same treatment, the whole context changes about what that means to be Asian in America. And I think I'm fortunate that I came here when I was 17 and I don't have to question the fact that whether I like it or not, Japan is my home. I may not be able to, you know, go back the way I was or feel the same comfort level when I go back, but I never had to question that. But for Asian American, it's a lot harder because this is their home, but at the same time, people look at you as Chinese or Japanese or Korean, and you're a complete stranger in your mother country. I think it's, you know, it's a common issue in a lot of the post-colonial subjects, as it were. But so in that sense, I feel really fortunate that I grew up in a place. And even though I live here longer, even though this is my home, I always be Japanese. Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, I like what my government is doing or not, it's, you know, it's where I come from and it's where I affiliate with. And it's still my first culture, first language, first everything. But, you know, being with a Black American for a long time, that was one of the things that he and I talked about a lot, about like, what it means to be Black here, what it means to be Asian here. What it, you know, what this country means to different people, and how it could be. Okay, so I guess we should go back to where we were, but I can't remember what. Why don't we like move on to like some of the subject matters that?
Yeah, let's go back. Tell me about your clothing. You did mention that how you dressed affected how, like, the little girls would
see
you.
Yeah, when I was younger, yeah.
So go through your clothing, your styles, through each development in the context of your sexuality or orientation or however you want to.
Okay, so I think we sort of covered up to the point of me thinking I could be bisexual and having my hair long.
Let's go even back farther.
Okay.
I had a question about when you were very young and you said that on that day, on Valentine's Day, the girls would send you the Valentine's. When you were that young, did you dress in any way to please the girls, so to speak?
I think at that time we weren't wearing uniforms, so...
Okay.
At schools, you know, there was... No, I don't think I did. It was more like things that I liked. Things that were comfortable, things that are not constraining. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by then it was really... And I had a very... I really liked jeans. Jeans was a sort of symbol of like the 60s. Mm-hmm. My father is of the generation where like wearing t-shirts and jeans was sort of a statement. And I think I romanticized about the 60s a lot. So jeans and American culture definitely was an influence, I think. Mm-hmm. So, and also around the time there was a fashion trend for what we call trad. It's like British sort of, I think here it's a little bit like a preppy look.
Okay.
And the what we call American casual, like how a college student would dress here in preppy schools, mm-hmm. with the you know the polo shirt with the right. sweatshirt, that was sort of you know fashionable at the time, and also because of my father's job, he imported a lot of those styles. I mean, not him personally, but so we would go shop at the sort of family sale that they have at my father's employer. So you know, that was sort of the trend that I was familiar with. Mm-hmm. So that's more okay. like what I was exposed to from my parents more than anything else, I think, and because of my father's industry. Mm-hmm. That I couldn't really go for the trendy trend things because I didn't really want to spend that much money on clothing, but that was sort of like within the choices that I had, that was the style I liked the most.
Mm-hmm. So you were not really, well, you weren't dressing with the girls in mind.
No. I wasn't, my mother and my sister are very, very fashionable, but I was very much like set on what was comfortable to mm-hmm. me. So I cared more about the texture and the feel of wearing it than like how it looked.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think about what the, how, you know,
when you got older, did that change at all?
Not in terms of how I dress. It's more about the how sort of the gender image part of it was. The fact that I was free from it was big, but not really. The way I dressed was really more for me, and what I was into at the time. So you know, in the college days with the British New Wave, you know, you wore all those t-shirts. From the concert t-shirt was big and. So it was really more about like showing my taste and my interest at the time than anything else. Mm-hmm. So music was a big part. So you know, if I go to the Cure concert, you know, the economy, I had so many concert t-shirts from the 90s, it's ridiculous.
It's a good time for music.
Yeah, so it was a lot more about what I was listening to mm-hmm. at the time. And it stays the same pretty much, except my hair started to get shorter and shorter after I spend enough time in Manhattan and found the stylist that I trusted. So I would go to the Latino places because the Latino ladies appreciate the thickness of my hair and they knew how to make it look good. So so I was sort of like shoulder length hair for a long time. And then dress wise, I think I was more like back to t-shirt and jeans, also oversized clothing. I really like construction of it, like because of my father's job, I always knew men's clothing was much better constructed mm-hmm. And much better style than women's clothing. And also the fact that I didn't really like to spend that much money on myself. Mm-hmm. So I knew that it's a better investment. Like if you find something that you like and it's, you know, men's clothing is not as affected by like fashion of the year. That right. you can find something that you can really enjoy for many years if you take good care of it. And, you know, it won't go out of style. It's, you know, you can find a lot more classic styling that's well constructed in men's clothing.
So do you shop at menswear shops?
Not really here, because the size, the issue becomes then size. Mm-hmm. Here, I really have to find, like, extra small for men. So, but when I was younger, I would just wear, you know, men's clothing, even though it was oversized and it looked way too big on me. I didn't care, because that's what I like. But yeah, it was a mix of casual and comfortable, whether it be men's styling or women's styling. I did wear a lot of, I did start to wear a lot of dresses during the summer, just because it's, you know, summer in New York, you don't really want to have anything like, you know, lingerie, too tight a lingerie body. So summer dresses I did like a lot. So, and, I think only recently I started really paying a lot more attention to how I dress. In my 30s, 20s, just, you know, I'll go to street fair and pick up things that, you know, look good. So my partner at the time, he was he was an art student, an architecture student. He was very conscious of the colors, constructions, textiles. So he would always like look at my clothes and like, nothing matches. So that was another trauma. Like, I'll never get as, like, you know, and he had his own sense of style as well. So I stopped wearing earrings, because, like, I would get dressed and you know, I would put on the earrings, and he would be like, that doesn't work with the rest of your outfit. I'm not walking with it. So, and it took me a while for me to learn, like, what he was saying. I didn't have a good sense of color. I didn't. Everything was like, you know, blue jeans, white, black, and he was like, okay, you're not allowed to buy anything beyond black, navy, white, because you don't know how to match. Maybe you can throw in the plan. So there were years of just, you know, and also like the styles are like all mishmash of things. But after years and years and years of preaching, it finally starts to sink in. So now I can actually pick and look at things and say, okay, these two things do go well with each other versus these two things don't work. So I can add some colors now, and actually works. It's only, yeah, the 20s was a training period that I really have to develop my sense of style, like the lines, proportions, and colors from him. And he used to just throw his hands in the air. It was that bad. But in my 30s now that I did start to make, you know, bigger money instead of just sort of having a bunch of part-time jobs and being a student. So I started to pay more attention to buy things for each season. And also start thinking about kind of look, as opposed to just like throwing on something.
Yeah,
I started to think about, okay, the look that I want, like, how do I want to look? So that came much, much later.
And how is that? How do you want to look?
I always wanted to be sort of casual most of the time, but when I need to dress up, I know how to dress up properly. Like, I didn't want to be sloppy all the time. I didn't want to be inappropriate, but I always wanted to be more casual than people expect. I didn't really believe in, like, dress for success kind of thing. That was setting out. So I wanted to sort of be that I'm good enough to dress a little bit down than people expect to still get away with it. So once I start getting a corporate job, it was fortunate that was the time that the major companies started introducing casual Fridays. So I didn't really have to, you know, buy like proper business clothing too much. So that's where I started sort of, you know, looking at the casual look that you can sort of use both for the office. It's good and, you know, it's appropriate enough for the office, but you can also just change the top and go out on the weekend.
Yeah.
So I think in some ways it was kind of bland and conservative, but then I think the first thing was t-shirt. It's always, you know, it's
t-shirt.
It's the easiest way to sort of make a statement. And, you know, and also the t-shirt really started to evolve in having more, you know, girl form-fitting t-shirt, as well as sort of, you know, the traditional boxy t-shirt.
Right.
So really started paying attention to what kind of t-shirt I like. That's why like I could actually do a range of things without spending way too much money, mm-hmm. but you can have so many different things with the t-shirt. So that's always been big. Then I started going to like actually really shop in East Village a lot more, or going to places where you find something unique instead of mass manufactured. I used to spend a lot of money. Well, no, I used to spend a lot of time in Pearl River before they got.
In where?
Pearl River on. It used to be on Canal. I don't know if the original one is still there or not. It was a Chinese department store.
Okay.
It was like a nickname. And before people caught up to the China dress being sort of a fashionable thing, you could just find like a really nice silk top for like $20. Now they charge you $79, but and they have a store in Soho. But back then, you know, those are the places that you can find, you know, good, well-constructed things, affordable, but different from what you get at the Gap.
Right.
So, and also the fact that a lot of the things that you see on the catalogs don't look the same on my body because it's made for, you know, mostly white and black women's bodies.
Yeah.
Not to the Asian proportion, mm-hmm. and I'm a typical Asian. I have a long torso, long body, long between my waist to the thigh, mm-hmm. and shorter legs than the body. So a lot of the things that looks good on the catalog doesn't, you know, they don't really work for me. So a lot of the Asian clothing definitely proportioned to fit me a lot better. And also there's a lot of nice Tibetan, mm-hmm. in Nepalese small stores with very beautiful fabrics that I really like the style that fits you instead of, you know, me fitting into it.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point I really liked the Indian South Asian clothing. The fact that you have, you know, one piece of the silk and you just wrap it around your body to fit your body to make, you know, and flow with your body.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of that. I never learned how to wear a kimono because it's way too expensive right now to have a proper kimono, and the maintenance is a lot more intense than Western clothing. But I do like the idea of wrapping clothes around, mm-hmm. to fit you as opposed to, you know, trying to work out to fit into.
It's a very different idea.
You know?
Yeah.
So t-shirts sort of has that too. You know, it's flexible enough to, and then you can do things to t-shirts to fit your body.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of the key things
that I think about. Okay, to wrap up, tell me a few things that, say you're going to a bar looking at girls, what do you look for?
Hair.
Yeah, what
kind
of hair?
Hairstyle tells a lot. I mean, especially like, you know, I'm attracted to African American women. So a hair tells a lot about sort of the political state of things, and also the socioeconomic class as well. So you definitely pay attention to the hair.
Good. Okay. Thank you very much for me.
You're welcome.